I may or may not sing now. But amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Yes. Amen. Better to be in the house of the Lord than best hospital in town. Yes. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord than the best jail cell in town. Best insane asylum. Well, okay. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God with the people of God this morning. Amen. We are already having a great time. Amen. So let's just keep it going. Amen. Let's not let this party stop. Let's just keep the party going. Because ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I just got some things on my heart to minister to you this morning. Amen. And I'm just going to jump right into it. And, walking with God for a while now, there are just sometimes when I read the Word of God and just looking into the Word of God, I just kind of picture myself in the story of what I'm reading, you know, and just being in the middle of it, and just like, man, I wish I could have been there and just really heard the story firsthand. But thank God we have the written word, you know, amen, where we can jump in on the conversation and hear what's going on. And one of the things I love about God, amen, that we see from other people's conversations with God, how he keeps talking to us. It brings us understanding and light as to how he communes and how he fellowships with us. And one of those people that I want to look at this morning, amen, is a guy by the name of Moses. Anybody ever heard of Moses in here? If you would this morning, again, I'm just going to jump straight into it if that's all right with you today. Exodus chapter 33. Go there with me this morning. Exodus chapter 33. Amen. There's nothing like conversation between God and his people. Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 It's just nothing like it. Be able to, again, sit in on the conversation firsthand and hear the conversation between God and the man, God and the woman. It's just amazing. To me, a lot of times, you know, nowadays, you know, people get excited about a word. You know, but here God has a whole conversation with Moses. Moses talks and God talks. Moses talks and God talks. Amen. And it's just not one word. Amen. We shout about one word today, one, you know, in our time. But God speaks in sentences. God speaks in paragraphs. Amen. God speaks in chapters, and he just, amen, he's a conversationist. Yes. And sometimes I think we forget these things, that God really does like to talk. And it says here in Exodus chapter 33, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, who said it? He's going to talk here. So let's hear what he has to say. He says, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. Isn't it interesting that God has not forgotten the conversation that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's still having the same conversation with Moses? What conversation is he having with us today? Just thought I'd ask the question right there. Let's keep reading. In verse 2 it says, And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Listen, he said, this is my responsibility. He lays it out very plain, very clear. This is what I'm doing. You don't have to be, you and I, we don't have to be confused in the day, in the time that we're living in, because God makes very clear his part. Amen. And we don't need to get his part confused with our part. Hello. Even though we are used, hello, in with his plan, but remember, he's the one doing the work. He's the one sending his angel ahead of time. Huh? And he's opening up the way. He's making the way clear. Hallelujah. For us to go in and get all that he has promised to Abraham, yeah, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Yeah. This thing just didn't start today. Amen. Our promises just didn't start today. We are the seed of Abraham. And some of the same stuff he said to Abraham, come on somebody, he's saying to us today, just on a greater degree and on a greater level. Excuse me for getting excited, but it just excites me, amen, that this is not a new conversation that's going on, but God's got the same conversation going on even in this day and this time, that he has angels, ministering spirits that are sent forth. I wish I could find some help in the room this morning. Amen. That he has ministering spirits that are sent forth before us. Amen. Before us. Before us, to open up things, to open up avenues, to move difficulties out of the way. Amen. We have ministering spirits that work for us. Amen. This is just not a Moses thing. Excuse me. Let me settle down this morning. Ah, I get camped right there. But all of our enemies get driven out. All of our enemies get driven out. All of our enemies. All of our enemies. I told you all the story the last time when I was here about the man at McDonald's that told me to get out of here. All our enemies. Even the ones at McDonald's that try to send you to jail early in the morning get driven out. But he goes on to say in verse 3, and again, I want you to hear this in the light kind of this morning of him talking to his son Moses. Yes. And that he's given Moses his assignment, yes, as to what he is going to do and what he's stepping into. Yes. And giving him greater understanding to the era and to the things that he's assigned to carry out in the earth on God's behalf. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so, you know, sometimes we kind of get stuck in our past. Yes. Hello? And we kind of want to say, stay on that, woe is me. Nobody's had it worse than I've had. I was born in a season where my people were slaves. Okay. And I was put in a basket. They were going to kill me, but they put me in the basket and put me on the water. And somebody came and got me out of the water. You know, I was meant to die. It's a sad story. It's, you know. And so we paint the story, yeah, as sad rather than painting the story of deliverance. Right. Amen. It all depends on how we want to paint the story, how we want to twist the story. Do we see it in a positive light or do we see it in the negative light? Amen. And again, yeah, there was hard times when Moses was born and there were difficulties, but the hand of God. Yes. Come on. Come on, some things have been prophesied, some things have been said, some things have been decreed, amen, hallelujah, that there is going to be a deliverer that comes. Hello, the deliverer didn't look like who they thought he was going to look like, just like Pastor Amy was just saying. Hello, the Jews didn't accept Jesus because they thought, he's just one of us, amen. Don't be surprised who's beside you in the room this morning. Okay, all right. Don't be surprised. Let me say it like this then. Don't be surprised what's on the inside of you this morning. Amen. Everything that you've been through, everything that you've come through, amen, is not for naught. You don't have a sad story today. Amen. Somebody say, my story is not sad. Amen. My story is a story of deliverance. Amen. My story is a story of victory. Amen. My story is a story of triumph. Amen. Because thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Amen. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Why? Because his angels. All right. We need to get through this morning. Amen. What verse did we leave off in? 2. So let's start with 3. unto a land flowing with milk and honey. See the picture that God is painting for Moses today. See this picture. He's saying, listen, there are all these enemies out here. God is not denying that there's adversity. He is not denying it. He said the adversity is out there, but I'm sending aid. I'm sending help. I got your back on this. I'm sending it. And this is where you're going. Milk, honey. Sometimes it's hard to look at the milk and the honey when you think about all the enemies. Huh? Because we want to get our focus on the enemy. Again, everybody likes talking about the bad. Amen. But God says, hey, the enemies are there. But listen, I'm sending you to the milk, to the land of milk and honey. And there's a flow. Woo! Let's keep reading here. Amen. Saying, verse 4, is that where I was at? Unto the land, verse 3, flowing with milk and honey. The flow doesn't stop, you all. Our flow does not stop. Land flowing with milk and honey. Land flowing. I could just stay there today. Land flowing with milk and honey. And he says, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Let's keep on reading here. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I wouldn't want to be in that part of the conversation with God saying, you stiff-necked. These people, they are stiff-necked. And he says, I'm opening up the way for you to go in the land, but he tells them, I'm not going with you. I'm opening up the way. I'm making the way plain. You're going to step into some stuff, but I'm not going with you. Now that would get my attention in the conversation. And we're gonna have to talk this out now, Lord. Hold up, because if you ain't going, I ain't going. I don't care what opens up.
Yeah, come on now.
Okay. All right. There's a lot of stuff that opens up that people proceed into, but if God is not in it and God is not on it, I'm not going. Hello, somebody. When I moved to Oklahoma in 1987, there were two things that the Lord said to me. He said, number one, you are to go to the training center. I had a way of jumping, okay? I had a way of jumping, doing different stuff. But anyway, you might need to know that in the story. But the Lord said, you go to Rhema and you sit there and you be trained in the class, and Brother Hagin is going to be your spiritual father and mentor you in the things of faith. And then he said, number two, you're to go to Rhema Bible Church, and Pastor Hagin is to be your pastor. I was okay with number one. Hello. But when it came to number two, Philip had issues because I went to the church a couple of times. And I decided that this is not the church for me. Huh? Because it wasn't my flavor. It was so far from my flavor. Hello. I was like, how can I come to church on Sunday morning and receive anything when it's not my flavor? Whoo, Jesus. I mean, it was just difficult, you know, hearing them sing Majesty and, you know, all this stuff that I didn't know. And their excitement was, worship His Majesty. That was their excitement. Oh, Lord. I thought I had died. You know, it was like, no, I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. I don't care what you said. I'm not doing this. I'll do the front part, but I'm not doing part B. I'm not going to do it. And so I found me a black church. on the black side of town, hello, that had to be Hammond B3, that had to get singing, hello, that had Sister Betty coming up the aisle. Like, yeah, I'm home now. This is home. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me find home. I found home. Hello. And like, I was blessed at that church there. Hello. A lot of doors opened. I got into a group, and we were about to be signed to contract with some music company. Yeah. And things were going really well until the bottom fell out. Hello. Yeah. And how many of you know when you start crying out to God, when the bottom falls out, he reminds you of what he said. Yes. Yes. He doesn't get you per se come and work in that situation. He just reminds you, this is what I said to you. I said, go to the school and go to the church. That's what I said. Hello. Yeah. But it wasn't my flavor. It didn't have black culture. And I found out that I was more in love with my culture than I was the plan of God, than I was the kingdom of God. And I realized that God had to work on my stiff neck because I didn't realize that I had a stiff neck in areas. Okay, it's real quiet in the room this morning, but God knows how. There is a willingness on the inside of us, but there, I like to say it like this. This is not scriptural, okay? But this is how Philip says it. There's a way that God has that massages things out of us. I used to get these things quite often called cricks in my neck. Anybody ever had one? You know, and you're not gonna go that way. Why? Because it's just too much pain. It's too much pain. It's too much pain to deal with that. So rather than, you know, just doing something real hard, if you got good people, they know how to put their hands on you. And they know how to work that muscle until it starts moving and relaxing, huh? And the more they work with it, the more they massage it. You know, it get, oh yeah. Wait a minute. There's a little bit right here. Come on, work on this. And sometimes God needs an invitation from us to work on things. Because he won't override our will. And some of us have very strong wills. That when we set our course, that's our course. Hey, good or bad, easy, hard, this is what I'm doing. But God wants to massage some places in us, I believe, today. I mean, we've ran well, we've done well, but there are places in him that we need to go. Okay, let me go back to 1987. All right, maybe that's a more comfortable place than bringing it to today. Because most of us don't think we need massaging today. Okay, all right, let me move on. I got it now. Hello, you know, I've been in this all my life. I got it now. Wait till he starts talking about some stuff. But so I made my way to Rhema Bible Church. And I sat in the back and just didn't have a good attitude about it. It's kind of like, okay, I'm here now. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm in the will now. Now everything just straightened out. But there was more instruction that I needed, more instruction that I had to be given. And so I was sitting in church one Sunday morning, and the Lord said, I want you to get in the choir. You need to be in the choir. My conversation was, I'm not singing Majesty. I will not be the black man up there. No, thank you. Father, this is for the white people. This is for the white people. This is not for the black people. Again, I was in love with my culture rather than the plan. And so my eyes had to be open. What was it? Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And so until the light comes, there's just some things that you cannot see. the light comes, that's that massaging that is happening. And so I ended up getting in the choir, and I was in there just a few months. And one of the things that happened is Dan Morrison gave me a cassette and said, "Philip, I'd like for you to lead this song in the choir." And it was this white guy singing on the cassette tape, singing opera. I put that in my cassette player in the car. I ejected it, went back in his office. I said, "I can't sing this. I cannot do this. I can't do it. And he goes, "Oh, no. He said, "I don't want you to sing it like him. He said, "I want you to sing it how you sing it." And I said, "Okay, all right, I can do that. I can do that." You know, because I like soul food seasoning. Okay. All right. God has helped me. Hello. He's expanded me. I can sing opera now if I need to. If that's what's going to open the door. Hello. I can do it. Willingly. Happy. Wasn't so happy at one time, was I? In my room of white. I wasn't happy about that. But there's some massaging. Hello, that has gone on. God put people in my life. He needs this. I got a plan for him. Hello. I mean, how many of you know that sometimes being the person that has to do the massaging is not always easy, because your hand gets tired? Okay, all right. Your hand gets tired of doing the massaging. Your hands get tired of doing the work. But that's your assignment, is to work that thing, work it out. And so we did the song. Praise Be was the name of the song. And in rehearsal that Sunday morning, the choir got real happy, you know, when we were singing and stuff. But something happened in the service that morning. Pastor Hagen is very regimented. He follows his regiment, and I mean, it takes a lot for him to get off his regiment. And that Sunday morning, we sang that song, and the Spirit of God fell in the church that morning. I mean, it was just like rain falling in the building. Never been there a Sunday morning where he did not preach. And this particular Sunday morning, he got up, and he said, "The anointing is here right now," and he said, "If you need healing, get down here right now." And he came out of his jacket. Never seen him do this before. He came out of his jacket, started running down the steps, but then he turned and he said, "Philip, sing." I didn't even know he knew my name. And I started singing again, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, "That's why you're here." There are things that you open, yes. And that's why I have you here. Right. Yeah. And so if I hadn't done the plan, hello, if I would have just stayed with what I like, if I would have just stayed with my culture, hello, I would have missed the plan. And I've had tremendous favor with the Hagans, tremendous. Yes. I've done things on their stage that other people would have been fired for. Uh-huh. On the stage, you know, but that was my place of favor. That was my faith of my place of growing. That was my place of where God used them to massage some stuff out of me. Was I tempted to leave? I think my first year I resigned three times, maybe something like that. Could have gotten fired many rehearsals. But again, that was that massaging thing that God was doing in me. And so God is saying here to Moses, he says, you're dealing with these stiff-necked people, but I'm dealing with them also. Yeah. And God says, I'm not going forward with them. He said, "I won't send you with them." He says, "I'm going to send you with them, and y'all go in." And y'all do your thing. Go on to the land of milk and honey. Go on and do your thing. Let's keep reading here for, I'm not going to try to be too long. Verse 6, and it says, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the mount. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. But Moses, I love Moses because Moses didn't let the conversation end there.
Yes.
Let me get down here. Verse 12. You all doing all right this morning?
Yes.
Moses started talking again. And Moses says to the Lord, and Moses said unto the Lord, verse 12, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses is still asking questions. Who's going with me?
Yeah.
Hello, who's going with me?
Yeah.
Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this people, that this nation is thy people. Notice that Moses didn't start murmuring and complaining in this.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in other places he did, but right here, he's working on behalf of the people right here. Moses could have agreed with God. Yeah, they stiff-necked. We had this conversation before when I was talking about it. You didn't want to talk about it then, but now you want to bring up stiff-neck. He didn't have that attitude.
No.
Hello.
No. Thank you, Lord.
But he starts putting God in remembrance of what he said. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. And now, wait a minute, hold up, I skipped too far. Verse 13 again, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. God, if you're not going, I'm not going. I'm not going. But God says, he changed his mind. I will go. Moses asked him, and he said, I will go. Do you realize what weight you carry? When you ask God to do something on behalf of people who are stiff-necked and disobedient.
Yes.
That there is a change that happens because of your willingness to intercede. Come on.
Yeah.
On behalf of others.
Yeah.
Again, that are stiff-necked, that are difficult, that God himself is ready to be done with.
Yes.
Hello. I'll bring another group. I'll take another group in. I'm done with this one. But Moses, again, he intercedes on behalf of the people, and God carried them into the promised land. Even though Moses didn't make it all the way, he kind of let the people get the best of him. I was reminding Brother Joel this morning about a situation I had several years ago where I went overseas on a missions trip, and the offerings on the trip were really, really good. I mean, the first church that I was at, I got an offering of $5,000 just at that church, and I ministered like in 9 different churches. And where I was at the time, I used my money to go on a missions trip and was believing God that I'd have something. Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, the money came in overseas, but somehow the pastor that I was working with, he didn't transfer the money to my U.S. account. And it was probably around $40,000 that should have been transferred. $45,000 that should have been transferred to my account. And how many of you know I was on the phone calling him?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
I was emailing him. And he was telling me, find out what's going wrong. It must be on your end. You know, something's happening on your end. I sent it, just to find out that he hadn't sent it at all. Hello. And so this thing called a root of bitterness started growing on the inside of me. Because every time I would talk to him, it wasn't nice. What I was feeling, what I was thinking, I was going to figure out a way to get back over there. If I couldn't pay my bills, I was still going to figure out a way. I was going to get there. Because we're going to take care of this. Amen. And I called Brother Joel and I said, I told you, I think, what was going on to some degree. And I said, how do I deal with this? Because there are areas that the enemy would try to harden our hearts in.
Yes.
And to make ourselves bitter. Against people because they don't do us right.
Right, yes.
And when they don't do me right, I don't want to pray for them.
Right.
I don't want to talk to them. Let alone ask God to have mercy or anything like that. You know, let the fire hit them. Boom. And so I said, what do I need to do to get rid of this? How do I get rid of this? You know, and I was expecting a deep answer. You know, he gonna talk to me, you know, 30 minutes an hour and get this thing out of me. Hello. He gonna massage it out. Didn't happen quite like that. What he said was, send him an offering. He got 40,000 of my money. Come on, that's what I'm thinking in my head. I'ma send him something, all right. It ain't no offering. Whew, Jesus. But when he said that, come on, when I thought about the word, something happened. Something happened in me. Something became a greater reality that day about my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. There are strongholds. I'm just saying right now, there are strongholds that the enemy tries to sit up in our lives. But God knows how to just touch it and it just releases. Hello. Anybody ever been to a chiropractor? Huh? And you go in and you know you just kinda you messed up, you hurt, and you know, and you saying, don't hurt me, doc. But they know how to get you on the table and they know how to apply pressure. Pressure to the right places, to the right spot, and it cracks and it pops, and like you just did. Oh yeah. Okay. We good now. This is worth that $100, huh? This is worth it. And so again, as we're growing in this life of faith, as we are growing in these things and increasing in the things of God. One of the sayings that I used to hear all the time, new level, new devils. And so there are things as we're moving, as we're increasing, that we haven't encountered before. But we have a God that knows how to touch the right spot. And just release that pressure. Hello. When I went through that thing with COVID, it was a pressure that I had never experienced before. I'm on financial pressure I never experienced before. Financial pressure where God just sent the check the day of. And he's like, I send my angels before you to already make up the way. So just want to encourage you today that there may be areas in your life that you see that you have some stiff neck in, and just areas that you need to be worked on a little bit from the past. Things that he brought us through in our past that took him a long time to get it done. It took him a long time because we were constantly back and forth resisting what he said. Yes. Now the changes are a lot easier.
Yes.
Because what he says, whatever he says, we do it. We don't contend with him anymore. Whatever he says, we do it. Because we've had conversation with him now. Hello. And we found out that our way is not the best way. His way is the best way. So, amen. That's the word, amen, that I have for you today. And I pray that you are encouraged today. Don't let the enemy get you down and show you areas in your life that need work and cause you to come to a place of being depressed. Cause you to come to a place of, I should know this by now. I should be over this by now. God keeps working in us because sometimes it's not the issue that's right in front of us that he's working on. But there are other things that we don't talk about that he's really working on. That's the real issue. Real quiet in the sanctuary today, but amen. There's things that he is working in us, God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He works on us with delight because he already sees what's ahead. He already sees us in our fullness. He already sees us and he just keeps working with us, bringing us to a greater place and a higher level. Amen. Every step, every level requires faith. Every step, it requires faith. Amen. We never get away from this thing where we just arrive and say, I don't have to do it anymore. I'm here. Ta-da! Ready for the world now. Ready. He's like, yeah, there's some pain in there. One of the things I fell in love with, you know, there are people who do massages and they're just like, you know, not really. It just feels nice. Yeah, it ain't really doing that, you know. Okay. But then there's this thing called a deep tissue. Where they get, wait a minute. Oh, you heard me right now. You and you got to have somebody strong enough, hello, that'll keep you on the table. It's like, I know it's hurting you right now. But when I'm done, it's going to be different. Amen. New level, new places. Amen. Tell me the proclamation again for this year. 2024. We're increasing more and more. Amen. We're increasing more and more. That means he's making us more pliable and opening us up to different things. Amen. God can move in just more than a Pentecostal church. He can move in opera. He can move in country. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what God will get into. Amen. And the thing of it is that he wants to get into it with us. Not apart from us, but with us. Amen.